Good morning. It is 10 o'clock, January 7, 2026. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer and Commissioner Jill Kringstad. So we have a quorum. And before we get to any business, would you please stand and join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't have any opening comments except to say that as we kick off a new year, for the last couple of months on and off, when we were doing scheduling, it is clear that while people think things are slowing down because, you know, the oil and gas boom has kind of stabilized and, you know, everything must be just going smoothly and quieter, our schedule for next year looks far busier than the schedules we've had in the past. Less sighting and meaning less travel for us out to the locations. But as far as just workload, I couldn't believe the scheduling process we had this year. So buckle in, everybody. It's going to be another interesting year. Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Good morning, everyone, and hope everyone had a great holiday season. Happy New Year, and looking forward to 2026. Fresh start, new book, empty pages. Let's feel it.
Commissioner Kringstad?
I don't have anything to add. Just proud of us that we cleared the first hurdle and know what year it is. So go us.
Oh, very good point. A couple of acknowledgments, actually. First of all, Brian is our new executive secretary / executive director. Welcome aboard, Brian. I hope you're ready for when chaos erupts during our meeting today. But thank you for agreeing to accept a new position here at the agency, and look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
And Jason, running our technology today, is departing us. And Jason, it's been a pleasure working with you. And I wish you well in your new endeavor, and I hope it brings good opportunities for you.
Thank you.
And just really wish you the best and thank you for all you've done here.
Good job, Jason. Thank you.
Nothing on consent unless either you have something to add. So I just move approval of previous minutes.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Proceed to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same side. Motion carries.
Okay, moving into the regular agenda then. I move the commission close Public Service Commission 2024 and 2025 sinkhole filling and maintenance AML project, case number AM-24-100.
Second.
So on June 18th of 2024, and I have the year right, the commission contracted with Young Gun Construction of Ludlow, South Dakota for reclaiming sinkholes and other maintenance work at abandoned coal mines. The original contract amount was for just under $500,000. One amendment was issued along with four change orders. So the cost to date is just over $542,000, and about $226,000 of that was spent in 2024, about $316,000 in 2025. The AML division intends to renew this contract for the 2026 sinkhole filling and maintenance project, which we are allowed to do under law and stay on that price schedule. Final payment on the contract was approved on December 1st. The contractor has certified that all employees, subcontractors, and suppliers used for fulfilling the terms of the contract have been paid. All work was completed satisfactorily. Michael Howe served as the project manager, and the AML division recommends that the commission close case number AM-24-100, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I move the commission close Public Service Commission 2025 Bichler Valva Phase 3 AML project, case number AM-24-353.
Second.
On May 15th, now we're getting into 2025, the commission contracted with Young Gun Construction again of Ludlow, South Dakota, for the reclamation of abandoned coal mine areas near Valva. The original contract was for about $2.36 million. Six change orders were issued, and the final cost was just over $2.6 million. And final payment on the contract was approved on November 18th. The contractor has certified that all employees, subcontractors, and suppliers used for fulfilling the terms of the contract have been paid. All work was completed satisfactorily. As in the previous one, Michael Howe served as the project manager. The AML division recommends that the commission close case number AM-24-353, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
One thing I just will add regarding, as I said, this is near Valva, and quite a place for producing many prominent people, but to just name a few, Eric Severide, who was a longtime CBS broadcaster, partially grew up in Valva. He's actually the first person to report the fall of Paris in World War II. And Dot Hinkey, of course, of the wonderful Dot's Pretzels founder from Valva, as is the North Dakota Public Service Commission's business operations manager, Bailey Dahl. So, just to name a few.
Well, I could name some relatives, too. I'm very proud of my heritage in the Valva area.
And one thing I will also mention, that the Michael Howe we are referencing, we have our own Michael Howe here at the commission, not our esteemed Secretary of State, Michael Howe. Two separate Good. People. Just in case anybody thought that our Secretary of State, Michael Howe, was also working on abandoned mine lands projects.
But if he wants to come out and help
he's
with some
welcome.
Inspections, he's welcome.
He's always welcome.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I move the commission close Public Service Commission 2025 Lehigh Road Phase 10 and Scranton Phase 4 project, case number AM-24-369.
Second.
On May 15th, the commission contracted with Earth Energy and Water Systems of New Salem, home of the world's largest Holstein cow, for drilling and remote backfilling abandoned underground mines near Dickinson and Scranton. And the original contract amount was $1.916 million. The final cost was about $1.977 million. On May 8th, the PSC contracted with Terracon Construction Consultants to test the quality of grout used on the project, and the original contract amount there was $66,000, and the final cost was almost $57,000. So final payments on both contracts have been made. Both contractors certified that all the employees, contractors, subcontractors and suppliers used for fulfilling the terms of the contract have been paid. Brett Jobe served as the project manager. Scott Besmer served as the project inspector. The AML division recommends that the commission close both projects, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Knowing my love for the small Class B towns in North Dakota, I can't help but pointing out that Scranton is the home of the voice star, Kat Perkins, as well as the U.S. Secretary of State back in the 90s, Warren Christopher.
New Salem is also currently home to an undefeated boys basketball team as well. Just
coached by. Well,
clearly well coached.
We think so at our house.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Okay, I move the commission initiate case number AM-25-299 for the 2026 sinkhole filling and maintenance AML project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands and public service commission. 2026 sinkhole filling and maintenance AML project case number AM-25-299.
Second.
So our 2026 project will fill sinkholes caused by underground mine collapse in western North Dakota, wherever they occur. Maintenance work may include reclamation of erosional features and reseeding. Work is expected to be conducted between April 1st and the end of this year. The AML division has funds to complete this project and recommends its initiation, as do I.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I move the commission initiate case number AM-25-300 for the 2026 Cartwright AML project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands and public service commission. 2026 Cartwright AML project case number AM-25-300.
Second.
So the 2026 Cartwright AML project will close an open mine portal, and also some exploratory drilling will be done to locate and characterize underground mine workings, if they exist, beneath a private rural residence near Cartwright, North Dakota. Work's expected to be conducted between June and November, and is expected to cost about $71,000, unless there's a whole lot of underground mine workings there, then it could grow. I want to point out, I have been intrigued with this project since staff brought it down to me a long time ago. A lot of people think Cartwright, like, old Bonanza stuff. I think of that's where I used to get my a lot of my open breeding heifers from a rancher up there. But it's up like from between Alexander and Williston there. You get partways in between and you go west and little Cartwright is there. But this is about an old bridge. The old Fairview Bridge, which is historical and unique in its design, was built to accommodate both cars and trains, of course not at the same time. The bridge, and then associated with it is the Cartwright Tunnel. And there's a trail there now, and these are both open to pedestrians and cyclists, bicyclists, I'm sure, to cross the Yellowstone River into North Dakota. It's just east of Fairview, Montana. And I haven't been there, and I feel embarrassed about that because I like these kinds of things, and I intend to be there this year. But the bridge, of course, crosses the river between Montana and North Dakota, and then there's a gap of a few hundred feet. And then this Cartwright Tunnel is like 1,460 feet long. It was built between the years 1912 and 1913, and most of the digging was done by hand. They also used some horse and mule drawn machinery and blasting materials. They're built by the Great Northern Railroad for the Montana Eastern Railway, and it never even was used. And so, kind of an amazing feature. But anyway, the railroad bridge and the tunnel are really not what we're working on. On the North Dakota side of the bridge, you look off to the side, and there's a hillside there, and there's an opening, and people and creatures are going up and going in there, and we need to close that off because it definitely is a safety hazard. And the opening was the mine where they got the coal to run the equipment to build the bridge and such. There's a home built right above that on the hill. Of course, they probably didn't know at the time that this was an old coal mine. And so that's what we're going to be doing the exploratory drilling on, to see if this is just a cavern and just goes in a little ways, or if this whole hill is drilled out and is a safety hazard. Fascinating feature of North Dakota. And I'm glad that we're able to go up there and make sure that everything remains safe so that people can continue to explore and enjoy it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Not just pertaining to this case, but just overall the five orders that you presented, Chairman Crispin, is I had sat down with Jonathan on Monday and went through a lot of these and just really impressed with the overall work that was done in 2025 by AML in reviewing some of the procedures and all that. But in 2025, 317 sinkholes were completed, worked on. And that's impressive, looking at the summary report and going through it. A lot of work, a lot of detail work, and project management. So I'm going to say kudos to the staff for a job well done in 2025. And thank you for your work.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I think, Randy, you did a really great job of kind of highlighting one of the challenges that I see with this program that our staff has to face. Is they do a great job planning, but sometimes you never know what's going to be out there for these particular projects until you get in the field and actually start doing that exploratory drilling or start filling that grout. And so one thing that I'm really proud of from our staff is the work that they do before they get out there and then how they have to just respond and have that flexibility to still meet the objectives and make sure that the project is safe and successful no matter what they find out there. So they do a great job with that as well. Thank you, guys.
Well said by both of you.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Your turn, Commissioner Hogenhofer.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Deferred Accounting Langdon Repowering Project Application Case Number PU-25-226.
Second.
On July 16, 2025, Otter Tail filed an application for deferred accounting treatment for the difference between the calculated Langdon Repower Project depreciation included in base rates and the calculated depreciation expense. We filed a notice of opportunity for hearing. No comments or requests were received. On December 17th, the commission did discuss with Otter Tail during an informal hearing this application. So the application for deferred accounting result asserts that a calculation error occurred during its most recent general rate proceedings, resulting in depreciation life of 18 years being assumed from the Langdon Wind Repowering Project, while the depreciation expense used assumed a useful life of 35 years. So there was a calculation error in that between the 18 years and 35, and causing them an overcollection of approximately almost $417,000. So the Otter Tail application seeks approval to track and defer the under-collected amount from 2025 and going forward, and would provide the option to seek recovery in a future renewable rider or general rate case filing. having gone through this calculation error and their option on how to recover it, I recommend approval of this application.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
I just would like to add that error was not the error of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It was the company's error.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company meter testing rule waiver extension approval case number PU-25-266.
Second.
Thank you. On September 30th, Otter Tail filed an application for an extension to the waiver granted in a prior case number PU-21-416 pursuant to our administrative code regarding meter records. We requested issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. No comments were received. We did meet with Otter Tail on December 17th during an informal to discuss this matter. Otter Tail has filed an extension to its meter testing waiver as their project was delayed 18 months and therefore was only fully completed in December of 2025. This results in 99.5% of Otter Tail customers having brand new meters that underwent accuracy testing at both the supplier and by sampling by Otter Tail prior to installation. They seek to extend the original grant extension through the calendar year of 2026, and normal testing would resume beginning in 2027. But during this process, Otter Tail did indicate, and they are committed to conducting meter testing resulting from customer requests. They're monitoring any abnormalities identified for meter readings and large energy users that have a high exposure to potential inaccuracy. So they are doing meter testing, but to complete the compliance of administrative code, they're asking for an extension, and their extension, I think, is reasonable, so I'd recommend approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
That ends my portfolio with no trivia.
Commissioner Crinkstead.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Emmons Logan Energy Storage, LLC, Emmons Logan Energy Storage, Emmons County, citing application, case number PU-25-290.
Second.
On June 18th, 2025, Emmons Logan Energy Storage, LLC, filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility for a 140-megawatt battery energy storage system, also known as a BESS, with a four-hour duration. And that project is known as the Emmons Logan Energy Storage Project, to be located in Emmons County, North Dakota. On September 25th, 2025, the commission issued a notice of filing and notice of public hearing. That public hearing was held on November 20th, 2025 in Linton, North Dakota. The notice identified the following issues to be considered. First, will the location and operation of the proposed project produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Second, is the proposed project compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And finally, will the proposed project minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? So the project consists of energy storage containers that house battery modules. Each battery module is equipped with a battery management system that continuously monitors and regulates critical parameters such as voltage, temperature, and state of charge to maintain operational integrity and safety. The project will use American-made LG brand lithium-ion batteries. And to maintain the project's required energy capacity over its operational life, periodic battery augmentation is planned to offset the gradual capacity reduction in the original battery systems. And so as As with batteries, they naturally degrade over time, and so new battery containers will be integrated within the existing footprint to maintain the contracted energy levels. Approximately 138 initial BESS containers will be on site, with an additional 48 augmentation containers placed to be added, for a total of 186 BESS containers on site at the end of the project's life, which is estimated to be 35 years. The project area encompasses approximately 24 acres. The anticipated service date for commercial operation is December 2026, at the end of this year, and the estimated total cost is approximately $181 million. Emmons Logan Energy Storage conducted numerous studies and surveys, including an acoustic assessment, cultural resource and natural resource inventory reports, an environmental site assessment, and a geotechnical engineering study. Emmons Logan Energy Storage coordinated with federal, state, and local departments and agencies designated in North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-06-01-05, including the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, North Dakota Game and Fish, the State Historical Society, Department of Water Resources, and the Department of Environmental Quality. The studies and surveys did not identify any exclusion or avoidance areas within the project area. Emmons Logan Energy Storage has prepared a draft emergency response plan and has engaged with and will continue to engage with local first responders and fire officials. They will also prepare an unanticipated discoveries plan, dust mitigation plan, and they have developed a noxious weed prevention plan that was approved by the Emmons County/Logan County Weed Control Officer. Currently, there are no existing local or state rules or regulations governing the project's decommissioning. And at the public hearing, in response to questions from the commission and public testimony that was received, Emmons Logan Energy Storage testified that it will voluntarily submit decommissioning financial assurances to the commission in accordance with the commission's existing rules governing wind energy conversion facility decommissioning and financial assurance requirements under North Dakota Administrative Code, Chapter 69-09-09. The project is designed and will be constructed in compliance with applicable safety code, including the International Fire Code, National Fire Prevention Association, and National Electric Code. Therefore, finding the location, construction, and operation of the project will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. The project will minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity, and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion, and that the location, construction, and operation of the project are compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources. Emmons Logan Energy Storage LLC's Certificate of Site Compatibility is issued.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
I do want to say a few things on this project. First of all, well explained. But I do have some concerns, and actually both on a positive and a negative toward what we're seeing with these. So this is the first of these. I think you mentioned that. We've already had a hearing on another similar one. And I don't think those will be the last. And you know, these could be in the heart of a city. I visited one in San Diego, but just the dynamics of North Dakota's energy industry, I'm guessing these are going to continue to be out near the substations of large wind and solar farms, so out in the country. And first of all, I will say on the positive side, I'm very impressed and pleased that the company is willing to do the financial assurances and stuff similar to what we would do with wind, and make that commitment so that we can continue assuring that future generations of North Dakota will have a nice place, of North Dakotans will have a nice place to live. Now here's the concerning side for me. We all know how fire can ravage rural areas, especially in drought conditions with high winds. And I'm going to simplify a much more detailed explanation, but my understanding is from these hearings that if a fire would occur, which apparently they have really figured out ways to make that likelihood pretty rare, but most tragic fires are rare, but when they happen, they're still tragic. If a fire breaks out, kind of best to let it burn itself out and just prevent it from spreading. Well, if that happens to be a day when we have 60-mile-an-hour winds in a drought condition, people downwind are in real danger. And now here's my concern. When we talked about what could come out of a fire, I felt it was kind of downplayed. A few things. When I pressed about some other things, potentially in very small amounts. Well, in these rural areas, and I was thinking a lot about it because I got my annual local Hazen Rural Fire Department calendar this year and sent in a donation. I'm looking at these guys. I know they're not professional firefighters. And when a year before the hearing even occurs, they're presented with, well, we're going to build this, and, you know, it just looks pretty simple. But I think when we talk about some chemicals that could be hazardous, but they're going to be small amounts, we need to do something to make sure that they know that, because they're the ones who are going to be expected to stand downwind from that fire and make sure that any embers that float out there don't start a big prairie fire. And does that rural fire department have the right breathing apparatuses for however they would value the danger from the various things that could come from that? Not whether the company thinks it's something to be concerned about, but whether they think it's something to be concerned about. And they need to know that information before they've approved it, not after they've approved it and now we're in for our hearing and just being assured that they've approved it. So I don't know if we need to formulate something in rules to get this information out to them in advance, or I guess I'm hoping that by doing this, saying this on the record, that companies will start to do this. When you first approach these rural fire departments, remember, they're volunteers. They have other jobs. They're farmers, ranchers, plant workers in my case. And they're willing to, and their employers are willing to let them off the hook for a few hours or a few days when something erupts. And they go out there and do the best they can to control it. And we need to make sure they know what's coming out of there before they agree to stand downwind of the fire, potentially for hours, breathing that stuff and making sure that the fire doesn't spread.
Is there any further discussion?
I just want to add, you know, the project was well presented, and Randy, I hear your concerns, and I really thought that we stressed, you know, the concerns of wildfires in North Dakota, and I think all of us, I mean, I can say I grew up on a farm, and farmers are very proactive in weather conditions and communicating, and having a husband who served 25 years on the rural fire department, I think communities are very engaged, and I hope they are engaged and are expressing concerns to employers, saying, you know, talking about weather conditions. When we have contractors coming from out of state not knowing, I just feel that it's a responsibility, too, for the communities to help inform and educate on conditions, but and they do a great job. They do. And I just hope if they have a request from a company or a need, I hope they bring it forward and say, you know, do we need equipment or based on the information you provided that they should be providing to help that community be prepared. So I encourage communities to be forward and present it to the companies and say what we need. And we've been discussing that in numerous cases. So if we need to take it a step further, then maybe that's something we do need to discuss.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I will just say in follow-up to that, I didn't highlight, you know, everything that was listed in this order because this order is I don't think anybody would appreciate if I read all 10 pages of it, but I did mention briefly a little bit about their emergency response plan and that they have, and part of that as well includes not only the coordination, Commissioner Crisman, that you referenced earlier that they've done initially, but they also have talked about, you know, they're going to do a general orientation that they're going to do once they have a finalized emergency response plan. They'll be training in that. There'll be an annual refresher for that training as well. And I do this was between this and the financial assurances, I would say were maybe the two biggest topics that we covered pretty in depth at the hearing. You know, they touched on the four layers of fire safety that they had in the project. And again, an event like this is it's not anticipated. Not that you know, lets anybody off the hook, but the way that it's unlikely just due to the design and the specifications that, yes, with a project like this, and that was something I think we really talked about in depth, that yes, the fire departments are told to just kind of step back and guard the perimeter, but that it's unlikely, not that it's impossible, but just with the design specifications and everything else, that the fire would leave the fence line.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
So that concludes our business on the regular agenda. And our admin agenda at this point is clear. Did anyone have anything to add to the admin agenda? So we won't be reconvening. Before I adjourn the meeting for questions from the press, I'll add a few announcements. At 1:30 this afternoon, we have an informal hearing with Montana Dakota Utilities regarding their renewable resource cost recovery rates. That's case number PU-25-279. This next one, I'll give the case number and what it is, but then there's a number of details about our schedule with it. So that Ellendale to Jamestown 345 kV transmission line that has garnered quite a bit of public attention and news. It's case number PU-25-236. This will be our first siting case where we use the new law that was passed last spring for on these longer projects. We're able to divide the siting case up and actually do the technical hearings here, and then when we go out to some of the communities to get public input, they don't have to listen to all those hours of minutia detail before they get a chance to talk. And so next week, on Thursday and Friday, we will have the technical hearings. Yeah, this week. Tomorrow and Friday, we will have the technical hearings for that case. Unlike the initial notice said, it said that tomorrow would be in the Brynhild Haugland room and Friday would be in the Pioneer room. Through legislative management and OMB, that got shifted a little bit. Both days will be in the Pioneer room down in the east wing, the east end of the main floor in the judicial wing there. Both days will start at 8:30. Then next week, we will get into the public hearings. This project spans three parts of three counties, Dickey, Lemoore, and Stutzman. And we will have a public hearing opportunity in each of those three counties. We'll start on Monday in Allendale, in Dickey County at the American Legion Club, and that will be at 10 o'clock, American Legion Club at Allendale. Then on Wednesday, we will be in Edgeley at the Armory. That will start a little earlier at 9:30. And then on Friday, we will be in Jamestown at the Baymont Inn, and that will be at 9 o'clock. Those are the public hearings on that same case. And I also just want to point out our next regular meeting is an irregular date for us. The next regular meeting will be January 26th, regular time, 10 o'clock, regular place here, but that's a Monday. And I just wanted to emphasize that because we like being transparent and we like to, our reporters to come and visit with us. So that concludes the announcements. With that, we are adjourned and we'll take questions from the press.